From the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah. Gotta get caught up with Adam Kokesh in the first hour of the Trump Report. We're gonna have Frank here in just a little bit, but you know he's always late, so I go. Adam wants to do his thing. Now's the time to do it while we're waiting on Frank. God, yeah, that's so predictable. All right, now Adam Kokesh is running for president of the United States of America on the Libertarian ticket, but he wanted to announce today they're having Christmas tomorrow. We're just going to do some Christmas. Tell everybody what you're doing, Adam.
Well, Ernie, you can't introduce me as a presidential candidate. I'm not some kind of psychopath. I'm running to dissolve the federal government.
There you go.
I'm the none of the above option for 2020. I did an interview with Fox DC last night. They put that on the headline. I love it. Even the mainstream media is starting to get this. And so KokeshForPresident.com, check it out. But more importantly, I'm really honored you gave me this chance to come on today, Ernie. It's been too long, first of all. But tomorrow, on Christmas, we have a very special live stream, and it's not often that I think there's a really good occasion for, you know, a big live stream event. But, I'm a child of a broken home myself, and one of the coalition groups that we have for this campaign that I'm so excited about is Victims of Family Law for Kokesh. And the reason I'm so excited about it is it seems like it's a black swan waiting to happen, a major event here. Because everybody in America is touched by government screwing with family relationships, whether it's a divorce or some custody battle, or you're worried about your kids being taken by CPS or DCF or whatever alphabet soup agency in your state is funded by federal money through HHS to kidnap children. It's sick, and it's something that Americans are often bullied or shamed into silence on. You know, if you speak out, maybe you're a deadbeat dad or a bad mom or something like that. And I think Americans are sick of this. We're ready to put our foot down and say no more. But for tomorrow, what we're doing is the Kokesh Christmas Suicide Vigil Christmas live stream for people from broken homes. And I know that suicide goes down around the holidays and that it's a myth that it spikes around Christmas. But it only goes down by about 10%. That's still 90% of normal suicide rates happening around the holidays. And I would wager that while it goes down for people who are able to come together as families, for people who can't, then I don't think it goes down much, if at all. And what we're doing is putting together this live stream from a lot of the great people on Team End the Fed, our campaign team, a lot of our coalition leaders are coming together. So I'm going to be kicking it off, talking about my experience with veteran suicide, talking about guys coming home from the military, from combat now, getting fed pills by the VA. We still have a problem there. It should be a national embarrassment. As soon as we got 22 veteran suicide a day as a headline, America never should stop talking about it until it stopped. And it's an ongoing epidemic.
Well, how do they access this event?
This is going to be on my Facebook Live, on my personal Facebook profile, facebook.com/Adam Charles Kokesh. And there's promos for it on all my social media stuff. You can find it through my main website, thefreedomline.com or kokeshforpresident.com.
Okay, so it seems like a cool idea. Well, what are we looking at as far as participation limits? I mean, is it like a video thread, a chat room messenger thing? What?
It's going to be a 12-hour live stream from noon to midnight Eastern time tomorrow. And we're going to have all these cool people from my team on, just on a live stream talking, answering questions. We have a lot of really powerful experiences on our team.
Well, I mean, is it on Facebook? Is it a Facebook tool?
It'll be Facebook Live. Just Facebook Live, Facebook.com.
They have a live thing? Is that what they got? Okay.
Yep, regular live video stream. We're doing Zoom regular on the back end, okay, so we can have a continuous stream and have guests on. Chris Cole, who's the director of our coalition, Victims of Family Law for Kokesh, is going to be doing the next 2 hours with guests. Then we've got Eden Donabella, Gun Owners for Kokesh, also a Marine combat veteran. Then we've got Kenny Marshall doing military for Kokesh, and his experience is something else. I'm really looking forward to hearing the full version of his story. We've got pastors Helen and Peter Yeeple, who are doing the Walk for Change. We've got Joey Lee, Stoners for Kokesh, talking about suicides versus overdoses, which is a really underexamined problem that people haven't really put into proper context. And I love hearing her talk about that. And then Samantha Miller, who does Erotic Entertainers for Kokesh, and our press secretary, Marcus Poulos. It's just an incredible lineup and a real chance for people to come together on Christmas who don't have anybody and want to address these issues and want to be motivated by it. I think a lot of suicide, it comes from a lack of self-love and a lack of sense of purpose. And you know this as well as I do, Ernie, that when you realize government is the source of the greatest injustices in the world today, there's no higher sense of purpose than you can have as a human being on earth than to fight the biggest injustice, to slay the biggest dragon. And so we also want to share a little bit about that with people, whether it's, you know, our activism or this campaign, really just taking this opportunity. Hey, if you're alone on Christmas, come hang out with us. You know, we're going to share some really deep stuff and hopefully inspire and motivate you the way that we have inspired and motivated ourselves with the message of freedom.
I'm thinking this might be interesting, you know, it'd be like, after the whole 12 hours is done, that there's a documentary done on the stories, you know, because this is, you know, this represents a big chunk of the problem that people try to take advantage of by, you know, getting you to donate this or do something or whatever, and actually having people that are personally affected tell their stories and so on.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I think I got better things to do on Christmas, you know, with my family for me, but for other people, this might be what saves their life.
Yeah. And it is one of those things where you go, you know, it's a good time. It's going to be people coming together who wouldn't have people to come together with otherwise on Christmas when they're feeling lonely. And if you touch one person and save one life, it's all worth it. But we're also not just going to be having a good time. We're going to be, you know, educating and informing people about the issues of suicide. You know, if you have a veteran in your life, and I'll tell you now, you don't have to tune in. You have a veteran in your life who's going to be, or anybody you know who's a vet who might have some tendencies that make them a higher suicide risk. You know, make sure you reach out to them during the holidays. If you have a family member who's separated from the rest of their family, or you know someone who's, well, their kids are on the other side of the country this Christmas, you know, reach out to them with some love and make sure that they have that support. And whatever it is that we do to reduce the suicide rate around the holidays, we make sure to make an extra.
Well, how you start it off? You go, don't do it. Don't do it. And we're going to give you a reason to not do it. And
of course, you don't want to like lead people into it like that or have that.
Maybe
kind
not.
Of
Maybe. I don't know.
Approach.
You know?
Well, I mean, as we used to say in the Marines, you know, if you kill yourself, devil nuts, I will chase you down in hell and make you do monkey efforts until you puke.
Yeah.
But I don't think that approach works for everybody.
Yeah, you know, whatever it takes a young mind to, you know, get them motivated. You know, this is, I think, necessary. I mean, it'll be, I mean, better than not. I mean, you know, it's, you know, so you're not doing any harm. I mean, you know, I think this would be, I'd like to hear what happens after. You know, this would be a thing. You know, one thing, hold on. Frank's not here yet, if he's even coming. He's coming in tomorrow. We're going to do a Christmas show like we did Thanksgiving because our wrists keep getting slapped in the pots and everything. They're coming over for Christmas dinner. And so we'll, you know, be in here and we don't get in trouble. But, you know, I'm, so I don't know. He's supposed to be, but he's not. So what we can do is the next segment, can you say another segment and I can talk to you about the campaign? Let's do that. We'll be right back. Adam Kokesh.
from the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condensed oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Yeah, Donna's putting up some more pictures for Adam, so we're not looking at always the the thing tomorrow. But, you know, that's a cool thing. But what I wanted to talk about is the campaign, the Libertarian POTUS, President of the United States of America, campaign for the nomination at the Libertarian Party National Convention is going to be in May in Austin, Texas. So I'm going, okay, tell me everything about the campaign. What's going on? I have not been paying attention. Other, you know, Jacob Hornberger coming on, talking about his thing. And then, you know, a lot of the other guys, we had you on, some of the other candidates. So you've been to some debates. There's been some conventions. There's been some something. Tell me everything that's going on, Adam. Go.
Everything. How many hours do we
go?
Have?
Go.
No, it's been amazing. I'm on the road. I'm in California right now. We've got No Force One, the bus on the road. We got a great crew. We're building momentum every day, recruiting delegates. Had a huge interview last night. Fox 5 DC went really great with Jim Loke. Looking to do some more interviews.
Send a link.
Yeah. It was a great interview. A lot of fun. Super fast TV, and you know I dig those. It's a fun challenge, and we're really excited about gearing up for the spring tour. We've got most of the spring mapped out. We're just waiting for Washington State to announce their convention date, because my family's in Washington. My mom and my brother and my cousins, they're going to be delegates from Washington State, so I'm really excited about that. And just getting all over the country, spreading this message. You know, the thing I hear more than anything else, and I think this should kind of set a new standard for the LP. You know, we have to speak for the people who aren't being represented in the political dialogue. 40% of Americans who are eligible to vote never vote. You know, presidential turnout never much more than 60%, and in off presidential elections sometimes as low as in the teens. It's crazy. And what I hear more than anything else is, I don't normally vote, but I would come out and vote for that. And it is so reassuring. While we're traveling, you know, we get stopped at gas stations. Hey, what's this campaign about? You know, give away books and palm cards. And yeah, I don't normally vote, but I'd come out and vote for that. And I know we're on a winning message when we hear that every day.
Well, what's that winning message?
We're going to localize government down to the community level where everybody gets what they want. We're going to take the federal government through a bankruptcy process, and we're going to take back what has been stolen from us, our inheritance, our birthright, our freedom, everything that we should have as Americans. It's been
but who
stolen
gets the aircraft carriers?
Government. Well, Ernie,
are they turned into condos?
Right. Well, there is a big process in liquidating the Department of Defense, where we're going to localize the legitimate defensive resources down to the states.
I want an A-10.
The rest get de-weaponized and liquidated, and turned towards productive purposes instead of the destruction of the military. And man, I'm just reading the news this week, hearing about billions spent in DARPA and. They're running war games to simulate.
I know. A lot of people think
versus people. Why can't we figure out how to make war obsolete?
Yeah, no, I think people there go, yeah, but what happens with it? I go, I'll scrap it for all I care. It'd be cheaper, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not as afraid as they want to make you out. He's got to be a big bad boogeyman of whatever. And I'm just like Yamamoto from after they bombed Pearl Harbor. He goes, hey, man, we can't invade the mainland. There'd be a rifle behind every blade of grass.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, well, they can find out in Virginia. They're behind every pine tree.
Well, as the founders, you know, were against any kind of standing army, they knew that the best defense was a well-armed population that refuses to be governed by anyone. And as Gandhi proved, the well-armed part is optional. When the American people say, we're going to put our foot down, we're not putting up with this crap anymore, we're not going to let the federal government exist. We don't need it. It's a bloated bureaucracy that destroys lives, hurts people, and steals from every American on a continuous basis.
All right, well, tell me how the interview went with Fox DC last night. You know, they're going like, okay, perfect. What are you doing? How long did it go? No, what did you tell them?
No, I think we've gotten to the point where the mainstream media is taking an attitude towards this campaign of, well, that couldn't possibly be a serious threat. He's a libertarian with a new idea. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's put him on for entertainment purposes. And then they hear me and go, huh, whoa.
Never let him on the air again.
That makes a lot. When the libertarian guy's making a lot of sense. Funny how they have a tendency to do that, isn't it?
I know. They don't dig it. You know, this, you know, in the 90s, it was, this is what they would say. They go, oh, we go, look, man, this is, you know, the truth about, was it because of your advertiser or this guy or what? And they go, oh, our sales department and news department are totally separate. And you look at, like, and they say it with a straight face and you go, right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you're just BSing me, you know? So I just, yeah. I have no respect for these guys. I don't give a crap. You know, so, I'll tell you in the break, but Donna and I are liquidating everything, putting it in sea containers, and we already bought a bus and conversion, and we're hitting the road starting May for a year.
Well, when we win the nomination in May, you know, we're going to need you on the road, too.
Ah!
We need all the help we can get.
Well,
right,
you know,
now,
I tell you what the focus is going to be. It's going to be on this vaccine thing, the mandates eliminating exemptions and so on. This is not, it's not just how many minds you can free now. It's how many lives you can save. This is so, I know a lot of my, even libertarian friends or conservatives and different, you know, think tanks and groups and discussion groups and everything I go to, and they're just like, Ernie, you know, there goes Ernie again, crazy Ernie, you know, you just crazy. And I'm going, you guys have no idea how much this is going to break loose. This is everybody, oh, you're crazy, oh, no, and Big Pharma and science settled and all this other crap. And I'm going, wow, this is going to be so big, and so many people are so pissed, and and it's all the same reasonings that we use for everything. You know, it's going to belie all kinds of crap that's going on, the corruption of everything. So it's something done. I think economically things are, the dollar is going to be abandoned and all kinds of bad stuff's going to happen. And I don't want to be getting all ready and ready to move and relocate and buying and building and everything in the middle of all that crap. So it's now it's a good time to do this, and we're going to do some good, and we're going to hit the road. But does the road suck?
Safest roads. Yeah, every time someone says drive safe, it's like, well, you know.
No. I mean, just being on the road, does it suck?
Oh, no, I love it. It's amazing. It's an adventure, and getting to meet new Americans every day, getting to meet random people. I love it. And we are so poised right now, not just the Libertarian Party and movement, but this campaign even especially. Like I said, we need all the help we can get. If people want to help us get media exposure, spread the message. Like I said, Marcus Poulos, our press secretary, is doing an amazing job. We've got a volunteer media team backing him up. And, you know, this is just the opportunity that we have going into politics, is to say, like, look, we can grab people's attention, and we can, if they're going to have an election and force the results on us, we got to have a say. We got to have an opportunity. And that's too good of an opportunity to pass up to get a righteous message out. And so, if people want to help, please email me, adam@thefreedomline.com. If you want to be a delegate, remember, the only way to vote in the Libertarian primary is as a delegate at the national convention. My team can get you plugged in. We've got 5 regional coordinators. We've got almost 50 state coordinators, and it's just an amazing organization. So I hope you'll join us, KokeshForPresident.com. TheFreedomLine.com is my main email.
Move to the Shire.
Or my main website, adam@thefreedomline.com, if you want to get me directly. And man, I'm excited about this, Ernie. Like, I really think, even even without a black swan, it's very reasonable to expect that the Libertarian Party can crack 10% in 2020, that we can have a breakout year.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking they, them, those are worried about. That's why we got the Bars and the Welds and the Johnson and all that stuff. That's what's been going on. And
well, you know, Ernie, it kills me when you mention that. I got to say, to hear libertarians complain about who the nominee is of the Libertarian Party when they're not engaged being a part of that process, it's not hard to get involved with the LP. You know,
hey, I was engaged. I was still pissed off.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're going to be pissed off anyway because you're Ernie Hancock.
That's right.
But this is an opportunity where it's so easy to show up and make the Libertarian
Party. So who are the contenders in this thing? You know, we have, of course, yourself and a Bumper and some of the other guys running, but there's a big giant slew of, oh my God, I wasn't even looking. I mean, whatever, you know, so give me what's going on. What's the field look like?
Well, you know, every cycle there's, you know, about a dozen, you know, just people who filed for the Libertarian nomination.
Yeah, we got Vermin Supreme though. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love Vermin. Vermin is a great performance artist. I'm so glad he's really firmly on Team Freedom now with the Libertarian Party. There's a big expectation now that Lincoln Chafee is going to jump in, and I think he'd be great for the party. Good dude. I've met him. You know, but really what it comes down to is who wants to take a new direction for the Libertarian Party and get a consistently principled message on the national stage, at least for the first time since 2004 with Michael Benarek, who I'm grateful to have the support of in this as well.
Everybody just goes, oh, Benarek didn't do that. Benarek didn't. He didn't freaking go communist. That's what he didn't do.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. No,
I'm going, Benarek was, I felt good about that. I was proud to.
This is taking it to the next level, Ernie. This is actually doing something that has the potential to unite all Americans, getting past ideology, getting down to the principles that make us libertarian. Instead of saying libertarian means this government thing should do this and this should be this way and that, no, just you can have as much or as little government as you want, as long as it's voluntary. And if you want to make that for yourself at the community level, where it's a group of people who choose to be a part of your community, you don't force it on anybody, you don't hold anybody captive, I want you to have the freedom to organize whatever kind of government you see fit, as long as it's voluntary in your community. That's why this is the everybody gets what they want strategy. It's more libertarian. It's more uniting. It's more American. And it's more principled. I'm not going to put on the ring of power and pretend that I'm some magical, benevolent dictator who's not going to be corrupted by it. No, this platform is, we're going to take the ring and throw it directly into the fire. We're going to disown the debt to form banks and governments and corporations. It is a form of.
All right, Frankie here. Go another segment. Tell me all that crap. You know, how you going to do it and doing it. You know, I guess Frank's not coming in today. You think? Yeah, we're going to do Christmas tomorrow. So I guess he figured he'd take off, be a wimp. You know, I go.
I love it. How do you keep Ernie out of the kitchen at Christmas time?
Put him in front of a microphone, right? Well, no. What happened is I always did a Thanksgiving show. The networks, I go, well, don't you have like a family or anything? I do the morning show. I go, yeah, that's why I'm here. You know, because I keep getting my wrist slapped every time I go into any pot or the kitchen. Screw you, I'll be back. Because we don't eat till like 1 or something anyway. So I'd be back by it. So it gives me something to do and don't get yelled at. So I just always did Thanksgiving. All right. Now we're going to do Christmas. All right, here we go.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, I got something to say. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. I just don't. Well, okay, I'll care a little bit and let, you know, Adam explain it to me. All right, this is what's going on. There are a lot of candidates running, and I just want to get an idea of the events that you've had, debates. There's been different state conventions you're at and doing it. Just kind of give me, you know, how the landscape lays out, you know, who's doing what and who's got the most organization and the delegates of the ass whipping of going to convention and have raves and whatever. You know, tell me how it's going.
Well, I'm pretty confident at this point saying that I've been to more Libertarian Party state conventions in the last 3 years than anybody else. As of the last FEC report, we raised 10 times as much money as all the other campaigns combined. We've got 5 regional coordinators locked on. We've got almost 50 state coordinators locked on. We've got more than enough people who have already signed up to be delegates. It's really just a matter of us organizing them at this point, making sure that they're getting to their state conventions, that they know what the requirements are. There are a lot of great candidates. Of the ones that I've been with on stage at the last handful of debates, we have South Carolina, Ohio, Massachusetts. There's not one who I've seen that's running at least a serious enough campaign to have made it to the debate stages already who I wouldn't support. And I do think they're all, I'm the only one with the campaign platform with a message that is actually at that standard of ethics that we espouse as being behind libertarianism. And I think there's a fundamental contradiction in saying, well, you should be free, but this person should be your president, or I can put on the ring of power. I'm special. I'm going to be a benevolent dictator. And I think they all kind of give into that flaw, and that's their fundamental weakness and really plays to my strength. I'm kind of surprised there haven't been more people running on a platform like this in the past.
But I want my free pony.
Yeah, right. There are a handful of candidates, like I said, who are taking this seriously, who are going to the debates, who are getting around to state conventions already. And they, for the most part, they all represent, at heart, a principled message and they'd all be, good representatives of the LP who I would support if they got the nomination.
Has Jacob Hornberger been in any of these debates yet or done any of that stuff?
No, I don't think so.
So
he hasn't been in a debate with me anyway.
He got any kind of attention when you're around? Does anybody, notice that he's announced or in it or what?
Well, it's funny. What I've noticed more than about him in particular is that there's kind of, our support is really, really solid, around 50% when we look at who are the actual delegates, the party activists, who's going to be there, who are the serious people engaged in this campaign. And the other 50%, the people who understand that this campaign draws a line in the sand, it's an ethical line.
Yeah.
Hey, we don't need a president. We need to do better than this. They don't go back. It's kind of like you don't convert and then deconvert. And the 50% that...
Well, as long as we're going to rule that way.
Right. The 50% that's not on board with this new direction for the Libertarian Party with localization, it kind of goes back and forth between these other candidates, and people are saying, well, oh look, it's going to be you versus Weld, and then it's going to be you versus Amash, and then it was going to be you versus Kim Ruff, and Kim Ruff was really taking all of that anything other than localization or the constitutionalist demographic vote, and now that's been split, and a lot of that went to Hornberger. And then, Lincoln Chafee's going to jump in. And so,
Lincoln Chafee. I hear this name. I don't know who what.
Former Democrat and former Republican, former senator, former governor from Rhode Island.
Oh my God! So he was actual. Never mind. Next.
Well, so a lot of people suspect that we got Gary Johnson and Bob Barr and Bill Weld because outside influences wanted the party to be weak. We had stronger candidates running against them every time. And, going back to Bob Barr, how much better would Mary Ruart have been as the nominee? And instead we got an establishment guy. And, there's a lot of people saying, Adam, you just got to get your people in and guard against whoever the establishment is going to try to force on us, the grassroots. And so that's really the motivation for this hustle. And I've seen some weird things. I don't want to speak too much to rumors, but of different money behind different caucuses, behind different candidates. And you never know who's going to come in at the last minute. Personally, I like Chafee. I don't know. Obviously, I think he'd be the wrong strategy for the Libertarian Party, but I'm excited for him to run.
Run, whatever. I'm not, I don't give a crap that they had experience in government. That's not like an asset to me, and I'd much rather have you up there going, yep, well, somebody's going to have to oversee the bankruptcy proceedings.
Yeah, right. And thank you for that, Ernie, because, really this message could be described as, hey, America, let's do things the easy way instead of the hard way. This is the easy way. The hard way is we wait for it to collapse. Keep our heads buried in the sand, hope that government spares us in its violent death throes as it desperately clings to power.
Okay, let me give you my view.
Get a little bit of our stuff back.
All right, let me tell you what my behind-the-scenes thoughts are and how this works and whatever. Of all the guys that are running and everything, I don't pay that much tab. Yeah, I don't care. But I know that it's going to be about delegates. I mean, that's all it is. It's going to be delegates. And if you got the organization of delegates, then you win because you got the delegates.
Right.
Then there was the threat that the Coctopus was going to be putting in Justin Amash and they're doing their thing. And I'm going, yay. Like, I don't need that crap. So I'm going, all right, so Justin Amash is going to be another Republican and explain it to us and how we're going to do it. And I just got a note, Frank will be zooming in the third hour, slacktivist. Anyway, so can you go to the end of the hour?
Okay,
this is my spiel as we go into the break here. I just wanted to give you my spiel, and then you can try and convince me otherwise. The Libertarian Party has always been kind of the nexus, the high school dance where you go to find out where the real party is, you know, and the cool people. So it's that's why I go, because there's so many people. They just go and just see other people, and yeah, screw these guys. We're doing whatever we're going to do anyway. If the national convention produces a candidate that, you know, kind of understands that and serves the interest or the philosophy of the locals, if they got a message or something, you know, cool. If not, they do what they want anyway. So what happens is, I've seen the anarchist movement or the voluntarist or what the real creation of the Libertarian Party was for back in the day was the education of the people that sucks. Well, that has always been 15-20%. Now it's 30-40%.
Yeah.
You know, it's growing. Yeah. It's like, then they're like, woo, we're worried. So then here comes the Justin Amash threat. Oh, we're going to explain it to you one more time. And if not him, some other politician, I don't give a crap. So here's Adam comes out and goes, you know what? I think it's going to be pretty clear the easiest way of this. We just dissolve this thing and do the Iceland deal and we're done. You know, and I'm like, okay, I think that discussion should be done. But then here comes Jacob Hornberger. I've known Jacob for a long time. He is a hardcore, good kind of, you know, libertarian Ron Paul-y type that will use the Constitution as a framework and do it the right way, blah, 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 blah. So I'm going, okay, so see, if it's not going to be the Amash thing to be slapped around, it would be Adam Kokesh and Jacob Hornberger. Here are two hardcore kind of guys. One do it within the system kind of system. The other guy asks, screw it, you know? And we're just going to have to just come to terms with this is over. The finances we just did in the last hour with John Sneason, that it's going to go. And all the signs that it's going to, here it comes. Yeah, you know, and I'm going, it won't happen all at once. You'll see the dawn breaking on the horizon, then all of a sudden, overnight, boom, it's a Monday, and we're going, what the hell just happened? Well, when that happens, Adam's there with a plan.
Yep.
You know, Jacob's got a plan too, but it's inside the system of the plan. But that debate, that discussion, that's the one that I want. You know, that's a discussion. If you're going to do it and within the framework of, all right, fine, you got this kind of Ron Paul Constitution thing. I've known Jacob for a long time, you know, and he'll do a great job representing. Then we got Adam going, I don't want to represent. I want to eliminate. We're going to do the bankruptcy. Then you don't got to worry about it no more. Go down to the vote.
That's real representing.
This is a discussion inside the Libertarian Party. They, them, those, they definitely don't want this discussion. What shall they do? We'll find out next segment.
Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The Crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The Crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The Crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the Crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
Okay, when we come back, I I want to get the schedule between now and going to convention in May. And which weekend is it? It's May what?
Well, it's on my phone calendar, so I'm going to have to pull my phone away from my face for a second or put you on speaker just to read the calendar, but I have it all laid out. I can do that really quick.
All right. No, I'll just have you, you know, give us a, you know, a lot of different conventions and everything.
Yeah,
Because Jacob's going to be, he said he's going to be here in Arizona convention. Are you coming back to Arizona?
Of course. So you think the establishment would line up against him to keep, or that like the same money forces that want to keep the LP weak would line up to support Hornberger to keep me from getting the nomination?
There's nobody inside. Yeah, Jacob's not going to have any of those money. They fear him as much as you. I mean, inside, they don't want either of you. You know, that's definitely because Bumper represents kind of this Mises thing. You know, the Mises caucus and all that.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of wondering about this because I've been a member of the Mises caucus from the beginning, too. But I was really kind of surprised how he launched his campaign, like directly lying about my platform so bad that he had to, I mean, it was intellectually dishonest.
God, he was even talking about your, well, I don't want to get in the ouch, quit it until we have both of you on the show.
Well, he had to print a retraction and then.
May 21, 25, Austin. All right, here we're coming back. Here we go. No batting.
Come Freedom's on. The answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we got the Watchtower. All right, what are we going to do to the Watchtower? All right. We have, you know, Adam already wants to sling some mud. You know, Jacob said this about that, you know, that fibber. Okay, so.
We're doing
campaigning already. Here it goes. Okay, what I want to do is I want to, you know, we'll do some inside baseball. It is, because I hate this crap. This is, you know, who's supporting whom for what? You know, where's the thing coming from? Who? I definitely, the status quo inside the Libertarian Party, Nick, okay, let's put it this way. I don't want to say his name, but his initials are Nick Sarwark, okay? So Nick has been, you know, he moves to New Hampshire, and he's always saying nice things about Bill Weld, even running as Republican, and I'm like, what the hell is that? You don't say that stuff without, you know, some goal or a mission or, you know, that's not like, oops, I said that out loud. I mean, there's a thing going on. So I don't know what the hell it is. Don't care. But the thing is that I think there are at least two entities. There are those that want the libertarian message to get out and educate people and kind of in general public opinion. And there are those that don't want that. So then you go, all right, well, how do we do this? Well, what Adam is doing, it's like, yeah, you know, you take these to a logical conclusion. Now we're better off without these guys. I mean, this is not working out. I mean, you know, how much evidence do you need? Then you have like Jacob comes up and he's kind of, you know, the Constitution and, you know, kind of the Ron Paul thing. You know, this is so, of course, right. Here comes the let me finish. Here comes the Mises Caucus and the Mises Group and the Lou Rockwell, Jeff Dice, Tom Woods, Stephen Kinsella, Bob Murphy, that kind of type. You know, they're like, oh, Jacob, man, he's our man. I can see it coming. You know, I understand the reason behind it. I'm glad he's there. But then you have the other side to where it's kind of this anarchist, voluntarist, libertarian, we're just, you know, who we kidding? You know, let's just, you know, freaking them, we're done with it. And Adam Kokesh. Adam has been working really hard for the past couple years on making sure that they understand the mechanism and you get the delegates and you get, you're way down the road on that. You know, you got, hey, it's just about, you know, who you can get to the convention. So who are the players here? My opinion is that you got the, you know, the revolutionary kind of Ron Pauly, Mises, Lou Rockwell kind of group, you know, and then you got the Mises Caucus of Michael, what's his name, that, you know, is kind of doing that. So they got their plan. There's Jacob. That's part of their plan. Then you have the establishment doing whatever the hell they always got a plan, and you don't know about it until the end of whatever, but you can pretty much count on it. They don't want the Libertarian Party to be as successful as it can be. They're afraid there's going to be another revolution. Or all of a sudden Jesse Ventura got elected governor. What the hell just happened? You know, so that's what they're afraid of. Then you got the Adam thing that's out there. Yeah, let me tell you what it's really all about. And you got, so in my mind, there are three main segments like that. And then you got everybody else, and it'll kind of consolidate into one of those three. Your view is different. What?
On that, no, I mean, I agree with your general breakdown there. I would just add that the people who are trying to keep the Libertarian Party weak, and remember, we're a very small, low-budget party compared to the Democrats and Republicans who operate
Kingmakers!
At about $400 million a year each. There's definitely room for black op budgets around all that money, and it would be a shock if they weren't trying to manipulate the Libertarian
Party.
No,
they wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong.
That we had. Right, no, of course. That would be wrong. But they just want to make sure whoever the strongest option is for the Libertarian Party doesn't get the nomination. And, you know, I've seen, like I said, I don't want to, speak to things that are sort of based on rumors, but I've seen enough.
Adam Kokesh and rumors are surrounding his anything. Oh, heavens, the Murgatroyd,
yeah, right.
That would never happen. All right, so yeah. All right, just say it. Say what you want to say. Go.
I think America would be better off without the federal government. This is the future. Anybody who says we still need a president is on the side of the establishment, and that's what we're seeing after having drawn this line in the sand. If you say, we need a president, we need a constitutional government, we need to keep this thing going, well, you're going to have all the same special interests lining up behind you as any establishment politician when there's an option to say, no, we're going to pull the plug on the whole thing because that's what they're really afraid of.
Okay, so in going around to the states and so on, what are the delegates? Because, the convention's made up of the delegates. And a lot of times,
right.
A lot of people, they just pay their $25, they show up, and there's an opening somewhere, they get sat, and that's how they bus in people for whatever anyway. So,
right.
I'm going, okay, do you have the hardcore, actually, I want to be a delegate, send me, pick me, I'm sleeping like cordwood in some Airbnb that Adam did in the back of his bus.
Exactly.
Okay.
Couples, Airbnbs, we want to support people logistically. Financially, who need that to get there. Anybody who wants to be a delegate to support this campaign, we're going to be supporting you.
All right. Who do you think is going to be? God, that's so hard to tell. When you do these, it sometimes goes 5-6 rounds of voting because you have to have 50% plus one, and there are just so many factions that will not give it up, and and they drop off one at a time. They drop. Then those candidates, suspend the rules so they can get up and speak an endorsement of somebody. Blah blah blah. So this goes on for freaking ever. And how do you think it's going to be the top four? Say.
Well, I think it's too early to call.
I know.
I know that my team's going to be going in with over 50%, and if we're not shenaniganed out of winning it on the first ballot, then
plan on shenanigans.
I wouldn't be overconfident saying we've got it locked up. There are a lot of people within the party who are infiltrators. There are a lot of people who are constitutionalists, genuinely constitutionalist libertarians, and I respect them, and to show them that localization is a better way is part of our job over the next 5 months. But I'm very confident saying that we're coming in with the biggest, single campaign organized delegation of support, and we should have, over 50%.
I'll tell you, if you work hard enough and you got it, man, if you got over 50%, you got over 50%. This is the way it is.
Yep.
And when they did delegates here in Arizona as a test going into the New Orleans thing, God, you had 20-something of the – they're like, damn, Adam, did this. I'm sure they're relatively concerned because you've been demonstrating you can do it.
Warm-up.
Yeah, no, I don't. Okay, I get it. All right, when you go to the convention, this is going to be the two main issues that I'm focused on for this election cycle. They're both property rights. One is my body, my children don't belong to the king. You can't force notions and potions into the vaccine thing. This is mandates and exemptions, kind of like, this is just definitely going to blow up in their face and there's no getting around it. So we have that. The other property issue is you living up in Ash Fork or me finding, because I want to do, Don and I are eliminating everything, getting everything in the storage. And when we finally get done with this year on the road, we're going to be boom. Here's where we're going to build a home out here in the desert somewhere. We got some place scoped out. We're going to I want to do. Well, and no, it's going to be down in the desert. But this is the thing. Well, I got grandkids, man. Come on. So this is what happens. I want to know the origination story for when some lobbyist, politician, bureaucrat, somebody went to the American people and said, you know, here in America, instead of just build a log cabin, you got to have a permission slip from the crown to occupy your own land. You can live on the sidewalk. You know, make the business owner clean up your hypodermics and your pressure wash your crap in the gutter. You know, if it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land? And I'm going, they go, no. Well, I want them to say it because I'm just like, when did this happen in America? You know, that it's not your land. Well, the colonial title, the patent, the Florida, don't care. I don't care what you call it. I want to know what the guy that stood up, vote for me, I'm going to, you know, make you get a permission slip. I want to know the origination story, and I can't get that from anybody. So I'm going to ask this question, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could take a guess at it from what I've seen. I don't think I shouldn't say a guess, but at least present a partial narrative, because I've dealt with this at the county level. I've dealt with it at the city level, and I think it's just a part of the development of the general bureaucracy of the zoning racket.
Sure, of course. You know, yeah, but there had to be. See, they do. It always comes back to building codes, and even goes on to the UN. It's just universal planetary crap.
Evil people do is necessarily well thought out. Sometimes they just creep into more and more evil, policy by policy.
They have to attack the nuclear family. The family is what is the problem. And the family being able to live on their own land without somebody saying they can't, you know, that is too much of a power or an independence against they, them, those. That's all it is. And I'm just going, you know, but it seems like it was planned. It was part of the progressive era or the Soviet commie whatever turn of the century at the end of the 1800 kind of, I'm like, I just want to know the origination story. Somebody came up and said, you're better off if you get a permission slip. And I'm going,
well, I think that goes back to the crown.
Of course it does.
The territory.
But I want the origination story here in America, because that's when they started taking us over. When you can't go and plop on your own land and occupy, put that tent on your own land, when you can't do that, that's when it was over. Because now, you can do it on the sidewalk, though. And I'm going,
not over, Ernie.
Somebody
over.
Explain. Well, I'm willing to fight.
Is spreading the message of liberty crypto?
I'm sorry?
Not if I have anything to say about it.
What, you're not going to fight? Just screw him.
No, I mean, it's not over. It's not over, not if I have anything to say about it.
Well, I don't mean over for freedom or us. I mean over for this illusion of control that they have. You know,
I don't use that.
You know, this is what I got it from Paul Rosenberg. Years ago, I asked him one time, I go, man, it was really getting, you know, more crap. And I go, God, is there a point at a peak tyranny? I mean, there's only so far you can go. I mean, it's like you kill all your slaves or something. I mean, is there a peak tyranny? He goes, nah, I don't think there's a peak tyranny, but I think we're reaching peak obedience. And I go, ooh, that's good. Mm. Peak obedience. You know, what happens when you hit peak obedience?
I do have to go. I have someone waiting for me here. All right, but I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, no, it was a good show. Thanks for filling it in. It worked out good.
Yeah, it was fun. And I will see you on the night of the 1st. And if it's okay, we'll be parking No Force One at your place, and then I'll be coming in the morning to do the show.
Okay, the night of the 1st. Does Donna know this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, then that's all I need to know, because I don't care.
All right. Sweet. And I'll keep you posted on the time. I mean, we might be getting in, just so you know, like, we might be getting in late on the 1st.
Yeah, whatever.
In which case, you know, we'll just park in the driveway, sleep, and you'll see us in the morning.
Yeah. Don't wake me up, just. That's all I just care.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Yeah, we don't have to wake you up.
All right, Ernie. Peace, brother. Bye.
Peace and love, brother.
Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock continues after the news, live on the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.fm.
This is the Liberty Beat, your daily source for Liberty news and activist updates, produced in partnership with SNLS News and listeners like you. Online at libertybeat.news and SNLS.news. I'm Mick Murrow with your latest edition of the Liberty Beat. Gold is trading at $1,485, silver at $17.43, and Bitcoin is trading around $7,297. Today's prices are brought to you by InnoScale. Take off with Managed Cloud. Looking for a safe, secure way to store your important files online? Let InnoScale handle it for you. Their high-availability cloud servers are the perfect solution for clients needing one or more secure, scalable servers with built-in hardware failover protection. For details, see them online at InnoScale.net. In the news, with President Trump's signing of the National Defense Authorization Act on Friday, he created the newest and sixth branch, the military. The first since the last branch, the U.S. Air Force, was formally established in 1947. General John Raymond, the commander of U.S. Space Command and Air Force Base Command, indicated that 16,000 active-duty airmen and civilians currently serving in the Air Force Base Command will be assigned to the just-established Space Force. From there, it will begin to get slowly up and running as its own branch. Without sharing details of the plan, a senior Air Force official said on background, because he was not authorized to speak on the record, there will be 30, 60, and 90-day benchmarks to meet. Where it took 3 years to stand up the Air Force, he said the Space Force hopes to be off and running in 18 months or less. That includes, he added, sending a four-star officer to represent the service on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The new command's social media and recruitment efforts were fast up and running. The Liberty Beat is sponsored in part by Brave Botanicals, high-quality kratom and CBD at reasonable prices with excellent customer service. Brave Botanicals is activist-owned and mission-driven and believes so strongly in the power of kratom, they're giving it away for free. Just go to freeounceofkratom.com for a free ounce of kratom delivered to your door. Just pay shipping. That's freeounceofkratom.com. This is the latest edition of the Liberty Beat. Find us online at libertybeat.news and snls.news. Your news now continues. Prominent human rights activist Tito Magadi was abducted in broad daylight by five unknown people in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and is now being detained by police. Activist Post reports that Magadi works as a public affairs officer with the Legal and Human Rights Center. He was abducted on Friday at around 10 o'clock in the morning as he was on his way to purchase a new mobile phone. That's according to a statement by the LHRC. Police denied having any information about Magadi's whereabouts when the LHRC first reported him missing on Friday. Magadi's abduction echoes a chilling trend toward the disappearances of journalists, human rights defenders, and opposition leaders in Tanzania since 2015, when the president, John Magufuli, first took office. The mythical Florida man has gotten a bad rap, with the meme buttressing a stereotypical narrative that gives one pause when looking at news stories from the Sunshine State. But in this case, the Florida man is actually a real-life hero whose actions represent the giving spirit of the holiday season. The Mind Unleashed reports that when U.S. military veteran Michael Esmond got his utility bill for December, he couldn't help but recall how he had once failed to keep his home warm as he struggled with financial difficulty. Since that time, Esmond has seen his fortunes improve as he became the owner of a successful small business called Gulf Breeze Pools and Spas in the Florida city of Gulf Breeze. With his past misfortunes in mind, Esmond felt like paying it forward as he went to pay off his gas bill for December. Esmond contacted his local utility provider and asked if he could pay off the utility bills for those households that were at risk of having their gas and power disconnected. He eventually paid $4,600 worth of debts for 36 families. Rather than receive warnings that their homes will go dark, families will now receive cards from Esmond. Support for the Liberty Beat comes from the Conscious Resistance Network, featuring videos, news reports, and articles from a spiritual anarchist perspective. Experience the Conscious Resistance at theconsciousresistance.com. How would you like to have your business featured on the Liberty Beat? You can just send an email to libertybeat@snls.news for details. This is the Liberty Beat, produced in partnership with SNLS News and listeners like you. The Liberty Beat is online at libertybeat.news and snls.news. I'm Mick Murrow, reporting for the Liberty Beat, reminding you, spread liberty with a smile.
Republicans back a plan for universal lawn care, and an RC car works up the courage to approach a group of girls. And now a recap of the week's news for those who like to waste their summers surfing the internet. Fall, the long-running series of shorter days and cooler nights, was canceled this week after nearly 3 billion seasons on Earth. The classic period of the year, which once occupied the coveted slot between summer and winter, will be replaced by new stifling humidity levels and near-constant sunshine. A shiny, bobbing object in the water is generating fascination among members of the fish community, who have described it as pleasingly wiggly and minnow-esque. Aquatic experts say that decisive action must be taken against the object very soon. In local news, just when 27-year-old Andrew Sheets didn't think his vacation could get any better, a rerun of Spin City came on. And in other headlines, a bee stuck between the screen and front door is going f***ing nuts. And a water skier lets go of the crossbar to greet those not currently water skiing.
This is the Onion News Network.